Lisa Lanier's on the phone. Lisa, good morning. How you doing?
Hey, good morning. I'm doing great. How about you guys?
Doing well.
Hungry. Hey, Lisa.
We are.
Hey.
Lisa's our official attorney here. She's president of the Lanier Law Group. You can get her online now at rock92.com. Keyword Lisa if you have any legal questions. Also, lanierlawgroup.com. Real quickly, any surprises at all in the Jody Arias verdict?
Oh, my gosh. The whole thing has just been one surprise after another. I've enjoyed following this because, I mean, who doesn't want to hear about the lurid details of their sexcapades? You know, I mean, that's been the most fun thing about this. And thanks to CNN, we've got to follow the whole thing. And I heard about the Little Red Riding Hood sexcapades. And it's just been it's been very interesting, but no, not at all surprising. But what a lot of people have, I've heard a lot of people saying, why in the world did this even go to trial? I mean, obviously she admitted to killing him. She shot him, stabbed him 30 times, almost decapitated him. But what she was hoping for was second degree. There was no hope of her being exonerated. She was just hoping for second degree instead of first degree. And so now the big question is, will she get the shot?
Yeah, will she get death penalty?
Boy, Lisa lays it on the line.
Lawyer talk. I love it.
It's real hot. I like
that was hot. Do you think her lawyer screwed up by changing the plea and her defense strategy like three times?
You know, it would be really hard to represent this woman, I think, because her story keeps changing. And so I can imagine that the attorney was probably having a hard time just keeping up with whatever the latest version of the facts were. And this lady just, you know, she just went on and on and on and on and on with these details. And, you know, it just, she's obviously loony and she obviously did it. But it was a very difficult case. I can't really imagine. And I think they were hoping, the legal team was just hoping that to save her life here, you know, keep her from getting the death penalty. And I wouldn't really be able to criticize that because it was such a difficult case. I think they did the best they could under the circumstances.
And plus, wasn't she on the stand herself for about 18 days just by herself?
Oh yeah,
incredible.
Yeah. Which is unusual. It's unusual for a criminal defendant to take the stand, but here, I think they were hoping to incite some kind of sympathy for her, for one thing, because it's fairly unusual for women to receive the death penalty. It's pretty rare. There are very few women who've ever made it to death row, and so I think maybe that sort of sympathy factor, that relationship with her that they were hoping the jury would develop, and also just this idea that there was all of this kind of heat of passion stuff between them, which would qualify it for second degree instead of first degree.
Do you think she will, in your words, get the shot?
You know, I think she very well might get the shot because there were a lot of aggravating factors, and what the Arizona jury has to look to here is aggravators versus mitigators, and they look to things like, you know, did the person try to cover it up? Did the person, you know, how much premeditation, how much suffering, that sort of thing was involved? And she just, I don't think she was very sympathetic. I think she tried to be, and she was sort of a good, you know, actress or whatever, but I don't think people had a lot of sympathy for her.
Do you think, Lisa, I'm sorry.
She might get the shot, yeah.
We heard a clip, we played it yesterday morning on our show, that where Arias herself said she preferred the death penalty. Is that some sort of psychological mind game with the jurors there, you think?
You know, I think that a lot of people in her situation, I think, when faced with the reality of spending the rest of their life potentially behind bars, you know, they become suicidal, and they do. I mean, in many cases, you see criminal defendants asking for, you know, all the appeals to be dropped and asking for an expedited death sentence and that sort of thing because they just don't want to sit around on death row for years and years and years.
Yeah. Okay. Or she's, as Chris Dim said, I mean, it's possible she's using that reverse psychology, thinking, well, I want life in prison, so I'll say I want the other, so they'll give me life in prison.
Yeah. Could
just
be,
to not satisfy her one more time.
Yeah. She could be trying to manipulate the jury. Absolutely.
Move on to the next lawsuit here. It comes from Amazon. Apparently, the workers, or rather the company, Amazon, who runs Amazon.com, being sued by some workers who say after 12-hour shifts at Amazon warehouses, they have to stand in line after an exhausting day for 20 to 25 minutes. These people are called pickers. They run out into the warehouse and get the items. You've seen them.
Oh, yeah.
And to put it, you know, and to ship to you, to whoever buys the item. And after long days, 12-hour shifts, apparently there's a policy in place that they have to stand in a long security line so that they can be checked out to make sure they haven't pocketed something, stolen something from the enormous warehouse. Apparently, it takes about 20 to 25 minutes for them to stand there. So a lot of them are saying, look, I want to go home. They're officially suing Integrity Staffing Solutions, a temp agency that supplies workers to Amazon. But in effect, It's a class action lawsuit against Amazon as well. What do you think about this, Lisa?
Oh, I think these people will receive compensation for this.
You do?
There's a long line of cases that have gone for the worker that involve what they call this donning and doffing, which I think is a hilarious legal term. But
that is a good term.
Sounds like a sex act, not a work-related act. But it is the donning and doffing cases involve people who have to put on a lot of safety gear to come into and out of work. And historically, I mean, there are jobs where you have to spend 25 minutes gearing up to do a job and 25 minutes taking it off. And those people have been held to be entitled to compensation for that time. And so this is very similar to that. And the cases are definitely trending in that way, that if workers are, the time is not your own. You're standing there. You can't go home to your family. There's a long line, 25 minutes. You should be paid for that. And that's the way the cases are trending.
Yeah, I think that's right. Either that or just let them off 30 minutes early so they can stand in the line and get out on time. Otherwise.
Exactly. As long as that time that they, that's not their time. It's the company's time, and so they should be paid for it.
Exactly. I figure that's the way it's going to go. One more quick story today, and this is very interesting. It's from the Bud Break Wine Festival, which goes on in Mount Airy every year. It's a fundraiser. There's big controversy here because they were raffling off a 2013 limited edition Fiat, and a woman wound up what she thought she had won the Fiat because she entered the $100 raffle, and she got her raffle ticket. They called her number. She was ecstatic, of course. Unfortunately for her, they said, okay, now you have the chance to win the Fiat. Take this Frisbee, back up 90 feet. We're going to drive the Fiat by. If you can throw the Frisbee into the open driver's side window, then you win the Fiat. She said, wait a minute. Nothing in the rules was said about me having to throw any Frisbee anywhere. I thought once you pulled my raffle ticket, I win. Everybody else said, we didn't hear anything about that either, and it's not printed on the back of the ticket. So does she have a legitimate case here that, hey, that's my Fiat?
All right. Well, my understanding was after she successfully threw the Frisbee in the window, then she had to perform a handstand for 30 seconds on the car. Because, no, this is ridiculous. Yeah, I mean, if the facts are as they've been presented and there was, that this was just basically something they made up at the last minute, then they have a problem.
Yeah.
Because you can't do that.
No.
You can't just change the rules because you don't want to give away the prize. And it sounds like that certainly is what they've been accused of. And if that's true, they have a problem. I mean, charities get sued all the time. What will happen a lot of times is they won't sell a sufficient number of raffle tickets. And so then they'll extend the raffle or they'll try to change the rules. And they get in big trouble for this, and they end up having to pay.
Yeah.
Well, according to – I went to WXII's website, of course. I think they've been covering this the most closely. And this morning, or late last night, I guess, they got a statement from the people who gave away the car. And they said, this is all we're going to say about it. And I've read the statement in its entirety. It's poorly worded.
Mm-hmm.
It's filled with misspellings. There are incomplete sentences. Mm. It's barely English.
who's running this raffle?
I don't know. But they said, apparently, the man who was in charge of the giveaway of the Fiat that day said – the contestant selected apologized, said she'd been working so hard that day in her cafe, she wasn't paying full attention to me while I explained the rules and regulations, nor could she toss a Frisbee. Then her husband said, I couldn't fit in that Fiat anyway.
Oh.
She then returned her ticket, for which I gave her a full refund. So this is just, it's ugly.
She said in the article, I finally got my $100 back after this whole thing happened, but she said I had to kick, scream, and holler, and I had to get the police involved. They finally gave me my money back since they weren't giving me the Fiat. She still wants her Fiat.
Yeah.
I don't blame her. I think she's right about this.
Yeah, it sounds like it got a little trashy there in Mount Airy that day.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
What a surprise.
Exactly.
This woman needs her Fiat. Well, if she goes the nth degree, if she hires a lawyer and tries to get it, does she wind up getting the car?
There's a line of cases that hold that she's entitled to restitution and then attorney's fees and some things like that. In some cases, they just give the person their money back, which is what she's already received. But in a lot of cases, they actually get an equivalent of what they won. If it's clear that she won, because essentially it's a breach of contract type of an action and a fraud type of an action, and she's actually entitled to, she might receive three times her damages. So if she can really show that this was not an advertised term of the deal, then she may very well get the sort of the cash equivalent of the car, as well as she can get her attorney fees and some additional damages as well if she goes all the way and proves fraud.
That's good. You should take her case, Lisa.
About a $20,000 car.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like a nice car. I've seen the little Fiat. They're cute. But exactly. I guess her husband's a big dude if he couldn't fit in there.
So. I couldn't fit in there either. I wouldn't care about it either. Lisa, thank you very much, as always.